You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
This is the Don Scott Show. This is your chance to shine. You're the sports contributor here.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I struggle when it comes to sport.
So that's general, you're struggling, and sport.
Yeah, and sport. I just struggle
makes
in
life. Makes me wonder why you're here.
Yes, I struggle in life, full stop. Two migraines, one yesterday and one today.
A migraine?
Don't you suffer from migraines?
No.
Well, they're shits. If you want to try one, try one.
Where do you get migraines from, Donald?
When I relax.
When you relax?
When I relax, I get a migraine.
That's just so illogical,
it's
mate.
It's not illogical. I went and saw a specialist who suffered exactly the same thing as what I did. She could work for 6 weeks at a time, and she just had to take a break.
Well, anyhow, sport's on.
And get a migraine.
And she got a migraine for the first week. And then the next week she enjoyed herself, but she worked it. And I paid a lot of money, and the advice was get in contact with your body. Wow.
So just a couple of cricket things. I noticed during the week, it might have been earlier, but Don Bradman's baggy green. Did you see that? It was up for auction. Don Bradman, the great Don Bradman. It sold for $300,000, which pales a bit when you consider Shane Warne's baggy green sold for $1 million. Do you remember that?
That's a good one.
Now, did you know this? So the difference is Warne only had one baggy green for his whole career. Don Bradman's was one of, I think it was 12. I think it was 12. If it wasn't 12, it was 14.
Why would Shane have only had one?
Because he just didn't wear it. He didn't wear one very often. And
he didn't wear it often?
No, he very rarely wore it. He only used to wear it. Remember when they used to wear it on the first, was it the first session when they would, of each innings, they would always wear it? That was their rule?
Oh, right.
Something like that. Anyway, don't hold me to that. But, yeah, it was.
Was his worn out? Was his worn?
Wasn't too bad. But if you remember back in the day, Bradman's day, they used to just grab him willy-nilly. Yeah, that's why they had a few of them.
Who was the cricketer that wore it? It looked shocking on
Steve Waugh.
It looked shocking.
Yeah, but he was the guy that I think introduced the tradition of
what?
Having just one. You know what I mean? And
wow,
just, that's where it came from.
It was falling apart at the peak and needed a good dry clean, a wash or something. It looks shocking.
So Don's one of 12, and they couldn't actually quantify the fact that it was his only one, whereas Shane's was.
Well, there's been a few sold already of Don's. So Donald's already had a few sold.
Let's hope we don't see Shane wearing one at a future function.
Who? Shane who?
Shane who?
Shane Lee.
Shane Lee, yeah.
Shane Lee. No, that's Brett Lee. That's his brother, Shane,
yeah,
isn't it?
Shane Watson.
We're talking about Shane
Warne. Watson, the all-rounder.
Yeah, Shane Watson. Shane Lowry. I'm talking about Shane Lowry, you fool.
Lowry. What did he do?
He's a golfer. What do you mean, what Shane? We're talking about Shane Warne's hat.
Well, there's a number of Shanes.
Well, we were only talking about that Shane.
Well,
Shane Warne and Don.
Shane Crawford, it could be Shane. As you said, Shane
Watson. But why would Shane Crawford have a baggy green cap? Now, come on.
Talking about cricket.
Yes.
Did you ever play cricket?
Not really.
No, a bit like me. But I thought it was a gentleman's rule, and I'd like to know when it changed, that you didn't bowl short pitch balls to tail enders.
Okay, so you brought this up last week.
Oh, did I? No, no, I brought up about concussion, didn't I?
Now you brought up about bounces being limited in one day and test games now that things are moving on. And I said, if you'll remember, do you know who the perfect person to speak about this would be to get his opinion on it would be the great Dennis Lilly.
And as if we're going to get him.
What?
As if we'll get him.
That's right, and the Rocket said, or someone you said, oh, as if Dennis Lilly would come on. Now, I don't know if he'll come on, but we're going to ring him at the end of this and see if he will answer the phone. And you can ask him.
I think I've got a pair of his shoes, boots at home. Those
steel blue.
Yeah, that's them.
I know
they're a blue colour.
They're steel blue boots.
Steel blue boots.
Yeah, the work boots.
Yeah. I've got those. I use them as a
fashion. We'll leave that on the message for him.
Beg your pardon?
We'll let him know about that when we leave a message.
What did I wear? These steel blue boots.
Yeah. Did you say as a fashion accessory?
I use it as a fashion accessory, not as a work boot. Not as a work boot, as a fashion accessory.
So you wear the steel blue work boots as a fashion accessory? Yes. What, with a suit?
Not with a suit, with jeans. They're a casual thing, but they just...
But they're for work, Donald. They've got steel caps so that if you drop a hammer on them, you won't break your toe.
I understand, but did you hear what I said? It's accessory to fashion.
Tell everybody about the pants you're wearing today.
They look like a jodhpur. They've got a low crutch and they're pleated.
Why?
What would you call those? Inverted pleats? No, not inverted.
Why have they got a low crutch?
Because that's a fashion.
Well, what, to have a...
Well, the crutch comes down halfway down your thigh.
What is fashion?
So that they can swing low.
Yes, but I've got tight jockets. By the way, can I have some of those smarter Sam jockets before I go?
Well, they'll pull your ankles up tight.
Yeah, okay.
You might get prostate cancer, Don.
I will too, but I've already had... So they're fluted. They're an inverted pleat, and they're very tight. They're a good... And they're made by a crowd, Stephen Green, Jagged...
And the Judds.
Yeah, but I think Stephen Green's the man.
Yeah. And
so they've got a low crutch. You're saying a low crutch is a fashion item.
It's a fashion item.
God, people are simple.
Are
you talking about Twitter?
It's pleated at the knee and at the thigh.
You're talking about people being simple-minded, being on Twitter. Why would having a low crutch where your fly is down by the inside of your knees?
There's no fly in it. They're a track pant.
Well, why would the crutch be hanging down to the
inside? Just fashionable.
It's not fashion. It's just dumbass people buying the latest thing that comes up just to keep manufacturers in the luxury they're accustomed to. It's nonsense. It's bullshit.
What'd you pay?
Nothing.
Oh, well, gee, you're not contributing. Why are you just on the handout, are you? Why didn't you pay anything for him? What? You're
it's
on
like
the bot.
It's like the steel blue boots.
Did you mow his lawn?
The steel cat blue boots.
Yes.
Just like the smart ass Sam jockettes.
Yeah, that I give you.
Yes.
Well, I paid
for
them.
And the Jeep jacket you're wearing?
The Jeep jacket, yes, that's a freebie.
Yeah. Why? So how'd you get the boots for nothing? Or the how'd you get the crutchless pants?
Oh, I don't know. Jeez, that phone. You talk about me and the phone. Who is it?
The wife.
The wife.
He's got to go home.
He's under the thumb.
I'm doing the podcast. You're on air.
Bring home milk.
What?
Oh, bring home the milk.
Will have to ring me. What do you want? What do you want to know? Come on, now that you're on the PO box, I won't give that over. Yes.
He's changed, hasn't he?
Absolutely. He really has.
Yeah, he's changed.
He really
God.
Has. I said this to him the other day in the car.
I reckon it's a grandchildren.
Have you been watching America's Cup?
No, it's the grandchildren have changed you. There's a softer side.
Have you been watching the America's Cup? Sport, this is.
Yachts.
Yeah, yachts.
Is it on?
It's on. That's why I've been watching it. I'm reporting to you. It's in New Zealand, Auckland. They are the holders of the America's Cup. And they've got these yachts which are unbelievable. They're not like conventional yachts. They're foils.
Now, hang on. Explain. When I took an interest in it, it was these...
Yes, proper conventional yachts.
So what are they drive? What are they...
They are now just flat. They look like fighter jets. And they have grinders. This is not a thing that you get on Twitter and try and match up partners with. They are grinders which...
Are you on Grindr, Don?
What's Grindr?
That's right, Don.
It's a matchmaking service. Or you can get on the gay one.
What's it called?
That's Grindr. What's the other one then?
Tinder.
Oh, Tinder.
And then there's your one, Minder.
Minder? Yeah,
what's Minder?
For old people.
Sorry?
It's for old people.
Minder's for anyone that's got heart and lungs and is standing erect. You can never crack at anyone. Now, Don, listen to me. The grinders are the people who... trim the sails and you come
on. They had grinders on the big boats.
So I'm just explaining. So above deck they use the grinders, that's humans.
Yes.
And underneath the deck they have these fins that come out, and when they tack, one fin retracts and the other one stays in the water, and they're operated by batteries. Has that not taken away the whole idea of sailing, where you have yachtsmen operating the equipment, but they've got batteries now operating. They're semi-mechanical, They're a bit like F1 cars.
Can I ask you a question?
And they go at twice the speed of the wind, which is extraordinary. If it's blowing 20 knots, they can sail at 40 knots.
Can I ask a question? They're called 12 metre.
I think they used to be 12 metre. I'm not sure.
So how do they calculate a 12 metre boat? How are these?
Well, they measure it from its front to its back.
Do they? Are you sure?
No, I'm not. How else would you measure it?
It wouldn't be anything to do with sail area?
I'm not sure, Donald. Because you remember when they used to pull the sails down and let out a spinnaker,
yes,
that big balloon?
Yes.
Well, now they just have two sails. They never move. They just alter marginally. It is extraordinary. The technology, it's high, and the hull of the boat is never in the water. It's on one fin and the rudder, and the rest of it is out of the water.
How many people sail? How many sailors?
I think there's about 8 on, and there's about 15.
Dangerous?
No, they're not dangerous, but...
Well, going at that speed with only that much in the water...
No, they hover above the water. It's extraordinary. And if you're a traditional yachtsman, you'll think, oh, wow. But it is amazing. And the real America's Cup, these are the preliminaries and the qualifiers. The real America's Cup is sailed in March of next year in Auckland. And England, or Britain, Italy, New Zealand, America... And one other, I think, are in
France.
France. I think France are in it, Donald. It is a multi-billion-dollar sport. It's extraordinary. But I'm wondering why they allowed mechanical devices to be used in the yachts. But maybe this is the way of the world, Donald, that that's why Formula One is using batteries as well as engines. Maybe that's why. Now, is Stephen Wells, is he something to do with Geelong?
Geelong, he's the recruiting manager.
Right, well, they've sent him over, I'm told, to Harvard or...
No, I'm just thinking that would make sense.
Yes, Cookie goes over there.
And Chris Scott went over.
To the business school, yeah.
Yes, Chris Scott went over.
Yeah. And so did
what
I...
What for, please? Not knocking well, it, just asking
well,
what
Brian
for.
Well, Brian Cook goes across, so I suppose what the boss does...
For management training.
Beg your pardon?
For management training.
Yes, now that's what it is. What would Chris Scott, the coach, and Stephen Wells, the...
Well, one manages a list, the other one manages a playing group. I mean, that's pretty... That's a business, that's an organisation.
I'm trying to...
I think it'd be fantastic.
I'm not knocking it, I'm trying to comprehend it. What would you need to manage if you were Chris Scott, your team?
Chris Scott has got a stack of people to manage, and he's got to talk... You know, organisational management is... would be fantastic training for him. He'd do really well with it.
No, please. So Chris Scott, in order to get on with his players...
And his staff.
His staff?
Yeah. So he's got to deal with medical people, he's got to deal with his coaching, he's got to deal with organisational structure, which is really important with the way in which, you know, these people, they feed down. So he's got a midfield coach, a forwards coach. It's pretty... I don't know, that'd be fantastic. It'd be great training. I reckon it's really appropriate.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
Why? You got a problem with him? Because it would cost a fortune.
Nothing. I haven't got a problem with him. I've just got a problem with... If a coach is to marshal his troops and get the best out of them, surely you would appoint a coach like Chris Scott. Surely you would appoint a coach who ticks all those boxes. I'm not sure why you'd have to then pack them off and send them over to a school... send them over to a university to then get the skills that you were after in the first place. Why not employ someone in the first place that has those skills?
Well, because I think what we're seeing over the last sort of 10 years is people are branching out and they're becoming more and more sophisticated. So
sophisticated at what?
Management.
Telling people to pick someone up or don't kick it out onto the windy side of the ground.
Coaching's more than that now. In fact, they don't even do much of that anymore.
Rod, management. They've lost sight of what the game's about.
Now, that's basically my point.
It really hasn't changed football. You hear about they couch it in different terminology, but it's exactly what it used to be.
Rod, I brought it up. Please don't think, have a listen to these old dinosaurs. I'm a bit with Don. I asked the question, I said I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying if you appoint a coach like the North Melbourne appointed, who did they appoint?
David Noble.
Now, who did they appoint beforehand?
Reece Shaw.
So Reece Shaw lasted a year?
Yep.
Yeah.
What due diligence goes into picking someone like Rhys Shaw, who's a marvellous man but is suffering for whatever reason. Why wasn't that apparent when they went through all the hoops and ticked all the boxes? Why would you have to appoint someone as a coach of any club and then pack them off to Harvard University to teach them actually what you wanted to them to learn in the first place before you appointed
them?
Well,
it's a big investment for a start. So
yes,
it's a lot of money.
What?
Those courses cost about
$180,000. That's why do it?
Because he's trying to, you know, extend himself. I mean, I don't think it's...
He's not doing anything anyway
between now and Christmas.
No, but
so
mate,
why not do it?
I like
not
your
between now. And
I
Christmas,
like
but
you being the devil's advocate. Or
thank
us.
You.
No, I do. Seriously,
how many self-made men? I was talking about someone coming in today. Self-made man struggled at school, has got business acumen. He didn't send himself over to Harvard University.
No,
self-made men, entrepreneurial blokes that'll have get up and have a go. Don't go over and do academic courses. And they're living on their wits. They're surviving.
Yes,
these blokes going off to Harvard and whatever else are being paid. They don't, excuse the expression, put their balls on the line in business.
So Rod is saying, I think, I'm not putting words in his mouth, the Rocket is saying that this is a good look for the club to tick every box and look as though you're professional, and so that when you fail, if you fail, you can say, well,
no,
we left.
I didn't say that.
When you look, left no stone unturned as to run the club properly.
I'm saying there's not much else. It's probably the only opportunity he'll get to go is at this time of the year.
No,
and why not go over there and see what you can learn? It's not going to hurt.
There are
different types of courses, okay? And I would dare say he's probably over there doing an organisational structure type of, you know, focus course. And I don't think there's any harm in it. Don't look at me like that, Don. Don't not look at me like that.
Go ahead, because we're going to put a call in shortly. I'm going to put
We're talking about the AFL, and I was talking to an ex-director the other day. Oh, no, he's a current director of a football club, no names mentioned. And we're talking about...
We'll work it out.
We're talking about the AFL and what, and I've got to use your terminology, this is a Mickey Mouse competition, the AFL. You stop and consider it, that the club, what asset, what advantage, there's a few clubs, five of them, that are financially sound. The others are being lent money by the AFL. What is the point of these clubs not borrow, what, they're disadvantaged by the AFL. They don't get as much money out, a dividend from the AFL because they don't need it.
Yes.
Yet the other clubs are being fought. What is the point of that competition? Why do you have members at football clubs? Membership, you know? Because the members don't own the club. The clubs are owned by the AFL.
Yes.
The colours are owned by the AFL. And the emblem. Is owned by the AFL.
Clubs own the AFL?
Beg your pardon?
Don't the clubs?
No, they don't.
But don't the members just pay a premium for getting priority tickets and seats?
Well, that's about all they get.
Well, of course that's all they get.
Yes, but they also make a profit out of, I remember when I was on the board, if we could get $1 million or something, if you get so 10 million or so many members.
Is that when you were cheating the salary cap?
Beg your pardon?
Is that when you were cheating the salary cap?
This is before they were they were cheating the salary cap. Plus, what do you want? What are you jumping around for? Do you want me to finish?
Relax.
Do you want me to finish?
Not at all.
How much time have I got?
No one would know I'm jumping around unless you mentioned that.
I'm trying to read some.
I'm trying to ring someone at a time that I said I think we got 5 minutes.
Okay, can I go on?
Yes.
We've got 18 teams. Why don't we have 17 rounds a year? And make it fair. Now, years ago, I'm turning the clock back. The game used to be 18 games a season. Going back, starting after Easter, and we played four finals and whatever else. Why don't they just play and make it a true competition by playing 17 rounds plus the finals?
Money.
Okay, that is one thing. It's an unfair competition. You got a classic this year with the VFL that they've started up, that they've got 17 rounds and 20 odd teams. So some teams won't even play anyone in the VFL. And they're talking about shorter quarters and whatever else and how taxing the game is. If they were to shorten the season, it'd take less off the players. Now, players never had stress injuries in the past because they had a couple of months off to allow the body to recover, then started pre-season, played 17 rounds of football, and your body had time to recover. Now players are training nearly 12 months. They have 6-8 weeks off, but they're still training.
I think the Christmas spirit has ramped you up, Don. You've just come with both guns firing. This is extraordinary stuff. Can't get boo out of you on a daily basis normally for the 75th episode.
And did you look at the rounds, the next six rounds, or the first six rounds this year?
No.
All manufactured blockbusters.
Yep. Money.
Oh, God.
Oh,
it's a joke.
Now, finally.
It's taking sport out of what sport's all about.
Quite right, Don. I'll tell you what.
And the, while I'm on a roll, can I say something?
Quick.
Why do AFL players who get into trouble get out of trouble? Or we all feel sorry for them. And I'm not going to mention names.
I know. Because it's expedient, Donald. And no one wants – they always want the best players to be playing no matter what.
No. I'm talking about players getting into trouble off the field.
Yes, so am I.
Why are they different to anybody else?
I don't know, because the media don't hold them to account.
Well, or general public don't hold them to account.
Yes. Now, could I tell you, if you want to see the most fawning exhibition of American sports journalism, there was a father-son, father-daughter, father relationship of golf played over the weekend in America. And Tiger Woods
and Eldrick, his son.
Eldrick Tont Woods, which is Tiger, was playing with his son Charlie, who is 11. And what a fantastic two they looked, just the boy, 11-year-old boy. You would reckon no one else was playing. There were great names playing, all the others with their sons. They only concentrated on Tiger and Charlie. They interviewed them after the game, not Charlie. They interviewed Tiger. They tried to get Tiger to cry by saying, "Is it great now that you've gathered your son in and he's under your wing?" And Tiger said, "Yeah, it's fantastic." They asked him 800 different ways to try and get him to choke up. No one, they couldn't have given a stuff about anyone else. Talk about fawning. What an embarrassment to the other people who played. They couldn't have cared less about them. But it was interesting to watch, and that's why they did it. Eldrick Tont.
The fellow that won it was a current player and played with his father.
Yes,
that's a great effort by the father, isn't it?
Yes. If I can't think of his name, he's the number two golfer in the world. There's a senior moment, Donald. I know this man so well.
Speaking of senior moments, so while you're thinking of that, I said to him...
talking about senior, do you get many... Or you wouldn't get them. Do you get many senior moments?
Yeah, I've got one now. I can't think of the golfer.
I said to him, "How is John Daly's son playing golf with a dart hanging out of his golf?" And he goes, "Was he?"
Yeah. Hey.
He's playing with a dart out of his
golf. No, he was joking.
We're going now. What was the name of the person?
Hang on, I'm trying to find it.
Oh, come on. The number two. Oh, look, I know them. Not Chris. He won it with his father. Great golfer.
Any of them? I didn't say it.
Justin Thomas. And his father, Mr. Thomas. They won it. Now, we're going, Donald, and we're going to have a crack at speaking to someone you said that we wouldn't have a chance of getting, and you can ask him a whole lot of questions about his great life.
We won't get him.